It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. The black press, through history, has been a source of protest against racial inequities and a way to spread vital news for and about the black community. We talk about this legacy and the future of black media outlets in Wisconsin. Call in with a question. You can share comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Thomas Mitchell Jr. is editor of the Milwaukee Community Journal. That's a black newspaper serving the Milwaukee area. Thomas, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yes, and Michelle Bryant is host of Say Something Real, a talk show on politics and current affairs airing on Milwaukee's WNOV. That's a black-owned radio station. Michelle, welcome.
Good morning, Kate. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. And rounding us out is Cheryl Thompson-Morton, who is director of the Black Media Initiative at the Craig Newmark Graduate School of Journalism at City University of New York. Cheryl, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Cheryl, let's start with you. As you study and work with Black news organizations all over the country, how important are these media outlets to their communities?
Yeah, I mean, very, very important, both historically and in the present context. So I always like to say one of the projects that we have is a mapping project. And Black media is overwhelmingly local media, and local media serves very important functions in society, helping us understand the things that are most pressing in our lives day to day, stuff with the mayor and politics, stuff with, you know, water access. I mean, there are so many things that local media helps us to understand. And Black media has a really unique role in helping to make sure that the Black community is informed and also that power is held to account in regards to racial equity. In 2021, we published a research study, Why Black Media Matters Now, which is a comparative analysis between Black and mainstream media from March of 2020 through May of 2021. To really see, you know, we know historically Black media has been really important calling for equity across different sectors, specifically in abolition and also in the civil rights movement. But we wanted to see what is the role today in a more racially just society. And we saw that even today, Black media talks more about racial disparities than mainstream media and talks more about issues of importance to African Americans. We saw that Black media uses more humanizing language in their coverage, not just of Black folks, but of people in general. And we saw that Black media does a really great job in a unique way of covering today's events within historical context. And so that role and that connective tissue that Black media provides is really critical. And it's just as critical today as it was, you know, over, you know, nearly 200 years ago when the Black press began.
Yeah, thank you so much for that, you know, overarching look. But when you said using more humanizing language, can you give an example?
Absolutely, I have several. When we saw Black media talk about COVID-19, in their top 100 words, the words care came up, which did not come up in mainstream media. When we saw Black media talk about victims of police brutality, we saw the words son and mother come up in the top 100 words. We didn't see that happen in mainstream media. When we saw Black media talking about Africa, for example, we saw them bring up women, mothers, and those terms didn't come up in mainstream media. And so we saw in general, the terms that were coming up among the top 100 words across topics focused on people. We saw, especially with police brutality cases, Black media mentioned the names of family members, specifically mothers, and mainstream media often did not. And so in general, what this showed us was that Black media was attempting in all of these cases of different topics to take it from a policy issue or, you know, something that's happening over there to something that's happening to a family member,
Much more
something
personal.
like a neighbor.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Michelle, I wonder, as you listen to this, you know, leading a talk show, say something real, what do you think about with language and connecting with your listeners?
You know, I couldn't agree more with what was just said. As I deliver show content every day, I am very mindful of the need to be respectful when you talk about certain topics, no matter how devastating they might be to the community. I am mindful to figure out a way to uplift as I provide information, to realize the impact that it has on listeners. So I couldn't agree more that I am very deliberate in the way I give a story, in the way I cover issues, and in the way I talk to the community, because so often members of our community, they see themselves represented in the worst possible way, frequently in mainstream media. And so, you know, I realize that when we are engaging people, and I try to do it in a way that, and it's so funny that you pulled that out, Kate, in her remarks, in Cheryl's remarks, because I wrote it down when she said it, humanizing language. So I couldn't agree more.
We're talking about the history and future of Black media, and we have Cheryl Thompson Morton at the Black Media Initiative. Michelle Bryant is here at WNOV in Milwaukee, and we're going to turn now to Thomas Mitchell Jr. at the Milwaukee Community Journal. Thomas, how is your publication different from, say, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel or other newspapers in Wisconsin?
We're different from the aspect that we... Well, as Michelle and Cheryl said, we focus on the community, and we really try to emphasize the positive aspects within the Black community. I agree with what Cheryl said about using humanizing language, more something that's more personal. When I do interviews, I try to be respectful of individuals and the things that they're going through, and try to pull out of them information that normally would be, that wouldn't be asked by a reporter, say, from the mainstream. Also, we try to emphasize on the front page of our paper a lot of photos. Photos pretty much dominate our front page, and they're photos of events that have gone, that have happened in the community. I try to use multiple photos for events. Like one particular event, I'll use a large photo, then a couple of smaller photos, and then a longer than usual caption explaining what the photos are about. So basically, I'm trying to show the positive aspects of Black Milwaukee that you don't see with the mainstream press.
Why do you think positive news gets overlooked by other media outlets or ignored?
Because it doesn't have the sell factor. It's not sexy enough to them. The old saying, if it bleeds, it leads. So basically, if it's something crisis going on in the Black community, they'll put it on the front page and just do a clinical analysis of what's happening in the community, but they don't delve into the personal aspect, the human aspect, which is what we do. And that's what we don't do. For instance, we don't do crime stories. We don't give a running tally of who shot who, where, when, and why. We deal with the aspects of Black life that might lead to violence, that might lead to stealing cars, that type of thing. So we try to keep it positive, but at the same time, inform people about what's going on in government, what's going on in the schools, and try to keep them aware of those things that they need to be aware of in order to make change.
Thomas Mitchell Jr. is editor of the Milwaukee Community Journal. We have Cheryl Thompson Morton with us, directs the Black Media Initiative at City University of New York. And Michelle Bryant is here, host of a morning talk show on a Black-owned Milwaukee radio station. Call in with a question. Share your perspective. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The archives of Black-owned newspapers and radio programs, they allow us to get closer to civil rights history and racial injustices through time. And we discuss this legacy and then how the Black press operates in Wisconsin today. Be part of the discussion at any point. Call in with a question, share thoughts, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. We have Thomas Mitchell Jr., editor of the Milwaukee Community Journal, with us. Cheryl Thompson Morton leads the Black Media Initiative at City University of New York. And Michelle Bryant hosts a show called Say Something Real on a Black-owned Milwaukee radio station. Michelle, you know, what issues are you exploring on your show, and how do you choose the stories you want to talk about with listeners?
So because my background is politics and social work, I actually am a chief of staff for a Wisconsin Senate office and have been for a number of years. Politics is one of the reasons I actually got into talk radio, because I felt it was important to explain many of the legislative priorities that I had seen being pushed and ushered through the legislature that were impacting Black voters. And in many cases, legislators, in my opinion, weren't doing a good enough job of coming back to the district and explaining to people what was happening. So that was my wedge in. But I also deal a lot with educational information, you know, reminding our community of just many of the great accomplishments that we've achieved. And one of the things that I'm also known for is information. You can get information on everything from the latest, you know, book to job opportunities, research that's out there that impacts us in some way. So I really go about doing my best to educate my listeners as I, you know, inform and give information. And then every now and then, you know, I'm good for a joke. My laugh is outrageous. And I've actually had a number of listeners comment on the fact that they wait for me to start laughing. There's something about it that's infectious. And I believe that laughter is good for the soul. So I will definitely work in a way to have some ridiculous moments on my show as well.
I was listening to some of it and noticed just how often you say, get your pens and pencils ready. I've got information here. And, you know, I thought about how important that is to conveying information to the community. And, you know, to, as you say, take this down, take notes here. Why do you say that?
Well, first of all, because what I have found is that people will always say, I missed it, you know, because everybody in the city of Milwaukee has my cell phone number. And so people will text me, repeat it, Michelle, I wasn't ready. And so, you know, they've trained me to say, get your pen and pencils ready. But I also know that, and, you know, and as people are driving and it's hard to kind of, you know, keep up with everything that you're hearing, but when there is a point that I'm really trying to drive home, something that I know will benefit them, benefit their children, opportunities, we talk about, you know, we were so excited with the Promise program at MATC and the ability for people to go to college and not have to worry about, in terms of the associate degree, not have to worry about those costs, student loan debt relief and what they could do to get back on track if they had student loans that were, you know, delinquent. Like, no, you need to listen, because I know these are things that are impacting members of our community. So I would raise that as just a flag to say, okay, I'm getting ready to say something really critical. And I know it's something that if you can't use it, you know others who can. So pay attention. So it's just an extra way to get people to understand this is something you want to really hone in on and give your attention to.
Cheryl, what role do you think does Black media have in the continuing struggle for equality and for the struggle to convey information to people who really need it in their daily lives?
I mean, it plays a really, really important role. I mean, I think part of what was being said about, you know, bringing joy into the conversation, I think I've heard that throughout the comments today, you know, not just focusing on the challenges, but having an asset framing is a really important point of why folks listen and read these publications and these radio shows and stations. Black media really calls out and holds power to account specifically around racial equity and racial inequality. It's been doing that since the Freedom's Journal, which was founded in 1827. And we saw in our research, and we've seen historically, Black media talks more about things that are specifically impacting Americans than anyone else. When it came to the racial disparities with COVID-19, for example, we saw Black media talk about that like at double the rate of mainstream media.
Wow.
When it came to talking about Breonna Taylor, for example, Black media talked more about Breonna Taylor than mainstream media talked about George Floyd. And George Floyd was the topic under kind of a racism umbrella that mainstream media talked about the most. Black media talked about health and comorbidity and all of these factors that impact Black people uniquely. And so Black media was really also important in getting the word out about the vaccine and talking about, talking to the concerns that the community had, taking it back to the historical context of the Tuskegee experiment, of medical experimentation, and saying, I understand your concerns. Here's some information to help you make a choice on what you want to do. And so Black media plays a critical role because they understand the community concerns, they understand the historical context, and the community can trust them because they know they're only trying to help and lift up the community. They've really been effective historically and currently in sharing information and getting the word out and keeping our communities informed.
As we talk about the history and future of Black media, turning to Cheryl Thompson Morton there at the Black Media Initiative, we also have Michelle Bryant at WNOV in Milwaukee, Thomas Mitchell Jr. at the Milwaukee Community Journal. Join in, questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Kevin in Madison is here. Kevin, hi.
Hi there. Yeah, this is actually, I wanted to say hi to Thomas Mitchell and to Michelle Bryant. This is Kevin J. Walker. I used to deal with you all, talk with you all quite a bit. And I wanted to know about, for Thomas Mitchell, I wanted to know if he could briefly talk about the state of the NNPA, the National Newspapers Publishers Association. When I was managing editor at the Community Journal, it had over 450 newspapers. Some of those newspapers have gone down in number. I want to know what the national status of the NNPA is. And from Michelle Bryant, there are a lot of negative incidents that happened in Milwaukee that even make it here to Madison. I want to know about the caller response, because a lot of times the callers will call in and they will drive a conversation, because you being on the radio, you're immediate, you're right there. So something will happen on a Thursday and people respond to it on a Friday.
Kevin, appreciate you so much for calling in. Turning to Thomas Mitchell Jr. first, go ahead.
Well, Kevin, it's good to hear from you. Long time since we've talked. As far as the state of the NNPA, which is the National Newspaper Publishers Association, which is the trade association that represents, I believe, about 200, maybe a little bit more, Black newspapers around the country. It's a lot better than it was a few years ago. And you have to give credit to its executive director, Ben Chavis, who has, kept or driven the organization to be more in tune with what's happening as it relates to getting news and how we report news now, especially in this digital age. He has a website. It sends us news and information that then we pass on to the community, national news and some international. They also have a pretty good digital presence. They've gone to video. They have a number of journalists doing videos or podcasts about issues that impact Black America. So it's an organization that is, I think, And again, the last few years has done a good job of staying relevant and current.
Let's pause right there. Thomas Mitchell, Jr., editor of a Black newspaper covering the Milwaukee area. We have Michelle Bryant hosting a politics and current affairs talk show on WNOV, a Black-owned Milwaukee radio station. And Cheryl Thompson-Morton heads up the Black Media Initiative at City University of New York. Call in with a question, add thoughts, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Pew Research Center, it polls Black Americans about the media. Nearly two-thirds of respondents see issues with the way Black people are covered in the news. Call in with a question, share comments, 800-642-1234. Thomas Mitchell, Jr. is editor of the Milwaukee Community Journal. That's a Black newspaper serving the Milwaukee area. Michelle Bryant is here, public affairs talk show host for a Black-owned radio station in Milwaukee. And Cheryl Thompson-Morton is director of the Black Media Initiative at City University of New York. Cheryl, the murder of George Floyd by the hands of a Minneapolis police officer in 2020, it renewed widespread attention on the mistreatment of Black people by the criminal justice system. You mentioned Breonna Taylor shot and killed by police officers in 2020 as well. What issues affecting Black people in this country remain unacknowledged or ignored in the press?
Yeah, I mean, I think when we look at mainstream media, we often see Black folks are often overrepresented in negative lights. In crime coverage, for example, there's research that shows that Black people are overrepresented in instances of the news related to criminality. And we already know Black folks are overrepresented in the arrest pool.
Criminal justice system,
Yes, in the criminal justice system. So it just adds to a distortion of how Black folks are viewed. I even talked to a group who is creating an algorithm to look through different news outlets and be able to look at news outlet stories at scale and pull out trends and themes. And they saw that in using their data, they were pulling out the term Blacks for certain stories that they were like, I don't understand why this is coming up. But because the news historically has related, used the term Black or African American in things about crime, about racism, about poverty, whenever there was a story about those topics, even if it wasn't specifically about Black people, that term would come up. But when we saw other things that Black media actually talks quite a lot about, like education or politics or history, the Black label would not come, even if we were specifically talking about African Americans in those instances. And so it's a clear sign that both historically and presently, the way that Black communities are covered really focuses on a deficit framing of what's wrong, as opposed to an asset frame of what's going right in the community and how the community can be lifted up. And it misses the context of historic discrimination and racism that has led to the current context as well.
Hmm. Michelle, how do you address police violence on your show?
Well, you know, I think, quite frankly, similar to the lens in which a lot of Black media outlets talk about it, you know, people are always suspicious. And, you know, we try to provide balance. Here in Milwaukee, we have an African-American chief of police. We have an African-American Milwaukee County sheriff. And, you know, so talking to people, because we understand that there are people that look like you that are in law enforcement, And the one thing that, like, without fail, you will always hear callers to the show say, we know that not all officers are bad, but being able to A, help people keep their objectivity, but to also understand how to voice concerns in a way that is constructive and produces the change that they want to see in these departments. So that's the thing that we always, Joe Madison, a notable talk show host who recently passed away, had a major show on Sirius XM. He would always end his comments by saying, so what are you going to do about it? You know, and that kind of drives me. We can't just be upset about what's happened. How do we change it? And that's the lens by which I try to give people something to do with that energy and to be able to have a outcome that in the midst of all of the negativity and the hurt and the trauma, you can still find something positive. How do we make sure this doesn't happen to someone else? How do you become a part of the Fire and Police Commission? You know, help us to recruit more officers of color. What can we do? So that's the lens by which I try to tackle these issues.
How do callers respond in those moments when you are trying to strike a balance? And that's really difficult.
Well, I'm fortunate. One of the things that I've heard Cheryl say, and I know Thomas will echo it, is trust is a huge factor. I am very fortunate that a lot of the listeners to my show actually trust me. And so, and I understand if I'm on 10, the listeners are on 10. And so, you know, I know what kind of what balance I want to strike before I bring the subject matter up. And there will be people that, and then let me just say this too. I'm also a Black person. I have a Black son. You know, I feel impacted the same way the community does about George Floyd. So even I have to think about like where I want to land as I talk about it, because sometimes I'm more animated than the audience. You know, like, I'm like, okay, Michelle, you're doing too much. I am much more, you know, outraged than the community can be sometimes about issues. So it is a give and take about trying to, again, strike that balance. But I go with the flow. You know, the caller who had called in and said, you know, what do you do about topics in real time? I've had my whole show blown up because something will happen and the community is upset and they want to talk, and I let them talk. And I tell people my only ground rule is that we're just not disrespectful. But whatever you need to say, and we don't call screen. So people have a lot of free rein to get it off their chest and express themselves.
Michelle Bryant at WNOV in Milwaukee. Thomas Mitchell Jr. is here at the Milwaukee Community Journal, and Cheryl Thompson Morton at the Black Media Initiative, as we talk about the history and future of Black media. And take your calls. Call in with a question, comments, 800-642-1234. Jonathan is here in La Crosse. Jonathan, hi.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I used to work for the Community Journal back in the mid-70s. With Bob and Pat Thomas, Nathan Conyers, Michael Holt, and Harry Kemp. So it's wonderful to hear all of you today. I'm really curious, does the newspaper still have a pipeline for bringing aspiring journalism students into the newspaper? And I'm also curious about the great collection from Harry Kemp, the photographer for the Community Journal. He was around for many years. Was there any plans or have there been any books published with his photographs? Thank you for taking my call. Love hearing all of you.
Oh, Jonathan, we love hearing from you. Thank you. Thomas, go ahead.
There are no plans right now as far as any photos from photo display for Harry Kemp. His sister, who also shoots photos for us and for several years now, Yvonne Kemp, is the owner of all those photos, and she doesn't have any plans that I know of right now.
Can you explain what is so notable about the Kemp collection?
Harry Kemp was the Gordon Parks of Black Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. He shot photos for all three publications, you know, he was just a great photographer, a great storyteller with his photos, and people, you know, always would ask, can you send Harry to cover this or cover that? And more often than not, he'll make it, either by bus or by car or a hitch or ride. Sometimes I'll get take him to an assignment or pick him up from one, and then he would go. We would go to the office, and we would look at the photos, and we would talk about what's going on in the community, the politics, and other aspects that impact Black people in Milwaukee. He was a great reservoir of information and knowledge and history. I miss him today. And his sister has done a great job of taking his place and providing the images that show the positivity of being Black in Milwaukee.
What is the pipeline like for young Black journalists in Milwaukee?
Oh, we wish we could do more. I mean, I'll just be honest with you. I've had interns, young people who are interested in getting into the business. We had a young lady by the name of Princess Byers, who Marquette graduate. She now works for the Neighborhood News Service. I wish she was working for us, but, didn't work out the way I had hoped. We try to encourage and have individuals who are interested in learning about the business. And we try to work with them as best we can, given, some of the constraints that we have as a newspaper. But we probably try to learn as much from them as we teach them.
Hmm.
They, show us about the whole digital frontier that's out here. What we need to do as a newspaper in order to keep up with them. I ask them all the time, what is it that you want to read or in the newspaper that will, draw in a younger demographic? And some tell me that basically news that, impacts the community and impacts them from a more humanistic and personal perspective. So,
mm-hmm.
I have worked with the Journal Sentinel and their internship program. They will have a person who's interested come and work with us for several weeks at the newspaper. So we try to stay, in touch with the younger generation and try to encourage them to take the reins of in the Black press and keep this thing going.
I want to ask Cheryl about taking the reins and keeping it going and that younger generation, as you talk with publications around the country, what does that transition look like?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, I think for a lot of news organizations, this is not unique to Black media. There is a challenge of succession and what happens when, people who have been putting their work into an organization for a long time, when they're ready to retire, move on, making sure that there's another generation behind to keep up the mantle. And so we're seeing, challenges with that, but we're also seeing solutions. I mean, many of the Black newspapers, some of the biggest ones throughout the country, have been family run for several generations, and younger generations are coming and taking on the reins. We also have a crop of new media organizations that are coming up from millennials, from Gen Z, doing amazing work in the digital space. I think the spirit of Black media really appeals to all generations of Black folks because we know the need. And so we, in our directory, we have both newspapers, radio stations, but also digital outlets who are producing original journalism. And it's a really robust group of young people all the way up doing this work.
Cheryl Thompson-Morton there leads the Black Media Initiative at City University of New York. Thomas Mitchell Jr., editor of the Milwaukee Community Journal, and Michelle Bryant hosts a politics and current affairs show on a Black-owned Milwaukee radio station. Call in with a question, add comments along the way, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Black Americans tend to be underrepresented in newsrooms nationwide. That's according to Pew Research Center. And we discuss the role of the black press and its future in Wisconsin's media landscape. Call in with a question. Bring your perspective. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Our panel includes Cheryl Thompson-Morton, director of the Black Media Initiative at City University of New York. Thomas Mitchell Jr. is here, editor of the Milwaukee Community Journal. And Michelle Bryant, host of a current affairs show on a Black-owned Milwaukee radio station. Let's go to Kay in Madison now. Kay, hi. Go ahead.
Yeah, so good morning, and thank you for this show. I'm a Civil War historian, and I concentrate especially on women's military history. And basically, white and black women are essentially blackballed from military history, especially as spies, et cetera. So one stunning example is a freed black woman from Norfolk who provided personally to the Secretary of the Navy, Gideon Welles, information about the Merrimack being renovated, the famous Confederate ironclad being across the street from her and her husband's tavern in Norfolk. And based on the fact she told him that food was being loaded, the captain of the USS Monitor left early for the battle at Hampton's Road. And so Mary Lou Vest helped change world naval history. It was the first battle between two ironclads, and the Europeans basically had nothing to match this.
And so you're looking as to how could the black press get the word out about these unknown historical figures, especially women. Cheryl, any insights there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, black media loves stories like this, and they love being able to share little known facts about history. I often say in our research, we show the word history is uniquely prevalent in black media in comparison to mainstream media. So often I think, you know, sharing these stories with folks in black media, making sure that they're aware, they will be more than happy to share these stories, because this is a key part of what black media does. This connects history to the present moment.
Michelle, what comes up for you in terms of connecting history to now and really sharing stories?
So on two fronts, I actually am an African-American history major. So it comes natural for me to weave historical facts, and I go on treasure hunts looking for information that I've never had. Ironically, because of my time slot, I have a lot of children that listen to the show on their way to school, in the car with parents, and so I'm always looking for things to give them as well from a historical perspective, but I'm blown away by the number of adults who said, you know, I never knew that. I never knew that there was an all-Black female regiment during World War II, the Women's Army Corps. And, you know, so I talk about, yes, they just got a Congressional Gold Medal. And so I figure out ways to work that in, because the one thing, you know, and we see that in the current battle right now down in Florida with the effort to remove elements of Black history from public education, to censor what is said. So many people in our community don't know our full history. That has not been documented well. It's not been taught in classrooms. I know a lot because that was my focus in college. But, you know, that's the one thing for me. I always say we don't realize how great we are as a people, how great our contributions are. So if we don't know, the rest of the world really doesn't know either, because usually you tell your own stories. So those are some of the things that I do just automatically to try to make sure that we learn as much as we can about ourselves.
Kay, thank you for calling in. Thomas, I want to turn to you on a different topic, and that is budget and keeping the paper going. Can you talk about funding and how that work is in order to try to fund the news that you really want to cover?
That's one of the challenges of Black media in general, regardless if it's radio, print, online, or television. Roland Martin, who's a well-known black journalist who has a podcast on YouTube and his own network, talks about the challenges he faces in getting corporations and other businesses like Coca-Cola or PepsiCo or some entity like that, or McDonald's, to advertise on his network and in black press in general. It's always been a challenge. I think that there's hesitation by white businesses, because they think that we present too much drama, that we're a problem type of publication, always challenges authority and even businesses, and so they stay away and think that would be a turnoff to those who use their product, but that's just an excuse. They just don't want us to grow and to expand our coverage of issues that impact the black community and thus impact America or Milwaukee or Wisconsin. So it is a challenge. We're ad-based as far as our revenue with advertising, and we find the challenges all the time. It's always been a challenge. As long as I've been at the community journal, it's been a challenge to get advertisers to advertise. For a while, because of George Floyd and his emphasis on DEI, it was a little easier, but everybody has withdrawn now that some years have passed. And
you feel like it's now back to where you were in terms of support.
Oh, yeah. You see these companies take retreat on DEI. And even during the Floyd situation, that the advertising really didn't increase much for black media. And this is really a problem even with political ads, trying to get them to spend money with the black press in order to get the message out about their candidate. Businesses and even some organizations want you to have put their press release in, but they don't want to advertise. So we have to struggle with, do we put the press release in or leave it out because they don't they don't advertise? Because sometimes the information that they have is something that would be of use to the community.
Well, I want to thank you all for such a thoughtful conversation. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Kate.
Thank you so much.
That is Cheryl Thompson Morton, director of the Black Media Initiative, Thomas Mitchell Jr., editor of the Milwaukee Community Journal, and Michelle Bryant, host of Say Something Real on WNOV. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.